Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel for the Festival of the Holy Trinity is from John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is God's word. So as I've said a couple times during the service already, today is the festival of the Holy Trinity. Not just in the Lutheran church, but in basically every liturgical Christian church in the world. Today, this first Sunday after Pentecost, which was last Sunday, we give thanks to God and confess God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are mindful of this doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Now, I know that's a dirty word for some people, doctrine. It sounds so stuffy and boring, but I would invite all of us to repent of having thought that way. We do on this day confess God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before the sermon hymn, we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, if we were doing our full service, which of course our services are abbreviated a bit right now. If we were doing the full service, we would be confessing the Athanasian Creed. Maybe some of you who have grown up in a liturgical church remember having confessed the Athanasian Creed. That's that one in the hymnal that's like 2 pages long. And it takes forever to read through. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to judge the worthiness of a creed by how short it was. If it was really short, I liked it because it meant the service was shorter. Now I'm sad today because we don't get to say the 2 pages of the Athanasian Creed. I feel remorse and guilt that as a kid I felt that way. Because creeds are important. Do you know why they're important? They teach us how to speak about God. And we could all do better when it comes to speaking about God. If someone were to ask you, who is God? Every one of you who says the creed week in and week out is equipped to answer that question. Now, someone could throw a question at you that you don't know how to answer, but every one of you can say, if you were asked, well, who's God? What do you believe about God? You can say, oh, I believe that God is the Father who made heaven and earth, that God is the Son, Jesus Christ, born of Mary, suffered under Pilate, came to die and rise again, ascend to heaven, will come back for me. You can say that God is the Holy Spirit who cares for us and feeds us and nurtures us here in the church. Because we say that in some form or another, every single week. And because we say it, you know how to speak. The church, all throughout its history, has needed to speak about who God is. In fact, if you read through the pages of the history of the early church, there were all these heresies that crept into the church about who God was. People trying to make sense of how God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There were the Arians who taught that Jesus is not God like the Father is, but rather that Jesus was a created being. The first of the created beings, but definitely not God. And so the church had to come together to speak about who God was. There were all these other groups who said that, for example, well, the Holy Spirit is not God. The Holy Spirit is a created being, which is not what the Bible says. There were those Christians who said that, oh, there's one God and God functions basically in 3 different modes or ways. So he functions like a father, and he functions like a son, and he functions like a spirit. But what does the Bible say about God? That's why we have the creeds, so we can say it clearly. That God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet not three persons, but one God. That each of the persons is God in and of themselves. The Father is God. Jesus the Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And yet they are not separate from one another, as though we had three gods, but they together are one God, one essence. Therefore we worship not three gods, but one God, a triune God. What difference does it make anyway? It all seems so confusing. It is confusing. It's beyond our understanding, but isn't that how God is? Isn't that what Paul said in our epistle in Romans 11 when he said, "Oh, the depth and riches, the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his ways." We can't understand God. We can't make sense of him because he is bigger and beyond us. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? And yet we are content to listen to what the Bible says about God, even when it's beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension. But what difference does it make? Why should we care who the Trinity is? Why does it matter if God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Why does it matter that he's three persons, yet one God, and not one God who acts in three different ways, but three distinct persons as one? Why does it matter? Well, first of all, as Christians who take God's word seriously, to be a Bible-believing Christian, you need to know and understand what God says about himself. And this is how he has revealed himself to us. Three persons, one God. So there is that. But there is an even greater reason that is very personal for each and every one of us. Jesus today says in our Holy Gospel that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. And Jesus is speaking about holy baptism, where you and I were born of water and the Spirit at the baptismal font. And though probably most of you don't remember the day on which you were baptized, because it likely happened when you were a little child, as it did for me, you know what words were said on the day that you were baptized. When the pastor likely poured water upon your head and said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In other words, God's triune name was put upon you. He marked you, put his name upon you and said, "You are mine." So that name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not just God's name. It's your name. He put it on you. You are baptized into Jesus Christ. You are born of the Holy Spirit. You are a child of the Father. That name is on you. A lot of us will go to great lengths to protect our own name. A lot of you, probably with great sadness, have seen what's taking place across our country this past week, the protests, many of them turning into riots, racial tension. There was something that the protesters, I saw on multiple occasions, had up on signs that they were yelling out during their protests regarding George Floyd. And it said, "Say his name." The protesters wanted everyone to acknowledge the name of the man who died in Minneapolis. They wanted him known not just as a faceless black man, but as a man with a name. That was striking to me because it says so much. It's good to protect the name of a person. In fact, the Ten Commandments tell us to do that, don't they? The Eighth Commandment, you should not give false testimony against your neighbor. You should protect his reputation. Many of us learn it as, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. A few days later, this past week, Drew Brees, quarterback, NFL, New Orleans Saints, posted on social media a post about why he disagreed with those who kneel for the national anthem, who kneel before the flag. And he wanted his name associated with those who disagree with that. And then he was vilified by other people on social media. So he came back the next day and issued an apology, a mea culpa, and took back what he said because he wanted to protect his name in front of those who had criticized him. We will go great lengths to protect our own name. How much more should we go to protect the name of God? The name of the one into whom we were baptized. Because that name is your name. It's the name of your Lord, your God, the one who is shown to us today in our Holy Gospel as the one who loves us through the Father, saves us through the death of the Son, and gives us new birth through the Spirit. I've heard it said that the Bible doesn't teach the Holy Trinity, because you will not find the word Trinity in the Bible. But the church has used words all the time to talk about that which the Bible clearly teaches. For example, we talk about sacraments in the church. You will not find the word sacrament in your English Bible, but it is a word that we use to describe what God does through the Lord's Supper and through holy baptism. And the same with Trinity. Though the Bible does not use the word Trinity, it is clearly taught in the pages of Holy Scripture. In fact, John's Gospel, which we've been hearing our Gospels from for the last several weeks, it's all about the Holy Trinity. John, probably more so than any other book of the Bible, wants you as the reader to sort of plumb the depths, to mine the riches of who God is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Over the last several weeks, during the season of Easter, and yet last week on Pentecost, we've heard all these readings about the Holy Spirit, the one who is sent by the Father, the one whom the Son Jesus promises to his disciples. He starts out in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. I had a seminary professor who assigned us once to take a Bible that we didn't mind marking up, writing in, or highlighting in. And he wanted us to go through the Gospel of John and highlight or underline every reference to a person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or to all three together. I have never had a book of the Bible more marked up than I did in the Gospel of John. Maybe you've not stopped to contemplate what it means that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But as Jesus reveals to us today in his conversation with Nicodemus, it is through the Spirit. Verse 5, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Birth comes of water and the Spirit. Jesus, lifted up by like the serpent in the wilderness, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life, the Son gives his life in death. And it's all done out of the Father's love in that great verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is a triune reality. The Father has loved you in the Son's death for you, so that you may have new birth in the Spirit, so that you may have a new name. Thanks be to God on this day for the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity, as we confessed in our intro. Thanks be to God that He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons yet one God, who has saved us through the death of Jesus Christ, given out of the Father's love that we may have new life and birth through the Holy Spirit. And God grant us faithfulness to confess that name, to defend that name, to rejoice in that name put upon us, so that we might be called children of the Father, baptized into Christ, given life in the Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.